Philippians chapter number 2, we began last week looking at the subject matter of servant of all. Servant of all, and really looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as our great example of being a servant. And we looked at the first four verses of Philippians chapter number 2, and we spoke about Paul's passionate exhortation. Paul is exhorting the believers at Philippi to be servants, to be unified. We saw a statement that was rhetorical in verse number 1. He says, look, you have consolation, you have comfort, you have the fellowship, the companionship and the spirit. He says you have bowels of mercies, you have compassion. And so we saw a statement that was rhetorical. And then we saw in verses 2, 3, and 4, the sameness that is rejoicing. In verse number 2, he says, fulfill ye my joy. And what would fulfill Paul's joy if these individuals in the church at Philippi were like-minded? He says in verse number 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So he's speaking to the church at Philippi, the believers at Philippi. And by the way, he's going to continue to do so. But in verse 5, in verses 5 through 8, he's going to give them the great example or the one to follow when it comes to this idea of being a servant, when it comes to this idea of being like-minded, when it comes to this idea of humility. He's going to give them the supreme example. And so tonight, we're going to look at the Savior's supreme example. The Savior's supreme example. When it comes to this matter of being servant of all, tonight in verses 5 through 8, we're going to see the Savior's supreme example. Now, by the way, what we have in this passage in verses 5 through 8, we have what many call the kenosis passage. And they call it that because the Greek word kino, which references or is translated from the phrase in verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation, and it means to empty oneself. Now, we mentioned this morning. Some people teach that the kenosis passage teaches that Christ emptied himself of his deity, and he did not do that. He emptied himself. What he did empty himself of was his majesty. He left the throne of heaven. He didn't have to, did he? But he left the throne of heaven. He was robed in flesh. And we'll see this tonight. He was made in the likeness of men. And he did that for us. Somebody this afternoon, it was good because it goes right along with what we're looking at tonight. But somebody this afternoon sent me a link. Somebody from the church sent me a link to a message that was absolutely tremendous. And I want to turn there and read real quickly because it goes right along with the message because, you know, it would behoove us to ask the question in verses 5 through 8 as we see the supreme example of Christ when it comes to the matter of being a servant, of being humble, of being obedient. The question is this: why does it even matter? So what? Why does it matter that he became obedient unto death? Why does it matter that he was humble? Why does it matter that he made himself of no reputation? He is God. And he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant. Look, we were made in the likeness of God, right? In Genesis 1, we're made in the image of God. Jesus Christ took on the likeness of man so that we could be just like him. So that we could be just like him. Why does it matter? Look in 1 John chapter number 3. We'll look at verse number. And by the way, we could go to many passages. This is just, somebody sent me this message, and the message was from this passage, and I thought, wow, this is perfect for what we're preaching tonight in Philippians chapter number 2. But in 1 John chapter number 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now notice this. This is what I wanted to get to. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Why does it even matter? Oh, it matters, doesn't it? Because we needed someone. Notice what he says in verse number 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he, speaking of Jesus Christ, speaking of the Son of God, might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Why does it even matter that he came and he took on the form of a man and he was made in the likeness of men and he made himself of no reputation and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross? Why does it even matter? Because we were bound in sin. We were bound in the works of the devil. And when Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross and he shed his blood, he was buried. 3 days later, he had victory over sin, death, and the grave. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And by the way, he did that. We don't have to live and we don't have to be bound by the works of the devil anymore. Don't have to. He did all of this for us. Now don't miss this. Because the message tonight is the Savior's supreme example. Okay, who is he an example for? For us. So don't miss this. He did all of this for us. And we are to do the same for him for the sake of others. He did all of that for us. And he gives us an example because we are to do the exact same thing. No, we're not going to die on a cross for anybody's sins. But we are to be obedient. And we're to be humble. Why? Just because we're following the example? Yes, we're following his example, but we're doing it for the sake of others. He didn't do this just because he didn't have anything else to do, right? He did it to destroy the works of the devil. He did it so that we could have salvation. He did it so that we could have forgiveness of sin. Okay, then why should we follow his example? Because there are others who need to be saved, who need us to humble ourselves, to sacrifice ourselves so that others can hear the gospel. We don't do it just because we don't have anything better to do. We do it because he's our supreme example and he did it for a purpose. The purpose was to defeat the works of the devil. The purpose for us to do it is for others so that the works of the devil will be defeated in their lives when they come to Christ. And so tonight, as we look at the Savior's supreme example, I want to give us three words. In what areas is he the supreme example? We could really give many more than just three words, but I want to break it down, these four verses, into three words tonight. The Savior's supreme example. Number one tonight, he is the supreme example of how we should think. He is the supreme example of how we should think. Look at verse number 5, if you would, Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5. Let this what? Mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He is the supreme example of how we should think. Back up in verse number 2, Paul says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Look, he is the supreme example of how we should think and how should we think. What is the mind of Christ? It is the mind of humility. It is the mind of thinking of others before themselves. It is the mind of one who had all majesty and glory. And by the way, he still has all majesty and he still has all glory, but he left that. It's the mind of a man who knew no sin. He never sinned. He was perfect. The man who knew no sin, but for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he took sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness in him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. That's the mind of humility. And he is the supreme example of how we should think. So often we keep our minds focused on self. And he is the supreme example of how we should think. By the way, we saw this verse this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. While you're turning there, let me read in Luke chapter number 22. In Luke 22, beginning in verse 42, the Bible says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, not my will. By the way, this passage is mentioned in the other gospel records as well. But here in Luke, it says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, Christ had a different mind, had a different thinking than we have as human beings in our flesh. Christ's mind was, everything I do is for the Father. I'm submitted to the Father. I want to please the Father. John chapter 8, we saw this passage this morning. Look at verse number 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of who? Myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always. Boy, don't you wish you could have this testimony? I wish I could have this testimony. I don't, but I wish I could. He says, for I do always those things that please him. That ought to be our heart's desire. Why do we talk about discipleship? Why do we talk about being with Him so we can be like Him? Why do we speak about that? Because everything we ought do and our desire in our lives ought be that everything we do pleases the Father. That we could pillow our heads at night and we could say, Father, today was well-pleasing to you. Father, as best I know, everything I did today, according to your word, was well-pleasing in your sight. It was a sweet-smelling savor in your nostrils. Look, Jesus Christ is the supreme example of how we should think. And how we should think is humbly, and how we should think is lowly, and how we should think is this: I want to do the will of the Father, and in everything I do, I want to please the Father, not self. Not self. Well, the devil is so crafty, isn't he? He just works and keeps our minds on ourselves. Number one today, tonight, the supreme example. Jesus Christ is the supreme example of how we should think. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Number two, he is the supreme example of how we should serve. He is the supreme example of how we should serve. In verse number 6 says, who? Speaking of Christ Jesus. In verse 5. Now, by the way, let me go back real quickly in verse number 5. It says Christ Jesus. Christ is the messianic title. That's not by accident that Paul mentions that first. Because he is sovereign and he is king, but he made himself of no reputation. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he made himself of no reputation. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one. He is Christ. But then you have Jesus, the servant, the human name of our Savior. In verse 6 it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% man. He was sovereign. He never emptied himself of his deity. But then in verse number 7, but who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But verse 6 declares his deity. Verse 6 declares that he is God. And then verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Let me say this tonight. If you personally have a good reputation in a community, you don't have to tell people that. They know it. Beware of the individual who has to tell you how good they are. Because if a person is, they don't have to tell you. Because people just know. And the Bible says here, but made him... Look, Jesus Christ's reputation preceded him. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He had intellect, emotion, and will. He had the five senses. He could feel, he could touch. And you say, Pastor, those are the same. They're the same. Or kind of the same. He could hear, he could smell, he could taste. And he had a spirit. And that spirit at all times was controlled by the Holy Spirit. See, that's one of the many differences between us and him. We have a spirit, but that spirit's not always controlled by the Holy Spirit. He was. See, he was made in the likeness of men, 100% man. He felt everything we'll ever feel, every emotion. I was thinking the other day, have you ever felt betrayed? And sometimes those are just perceptions. Sometimes it's not real. But have you ever felt betrayed? And my first immediate thought was, wow, any greater betrayal than ministering with someone for 3.5 years, pouring your life into them, and then they betray you with a kiss when Judas betrayed Christ. He felt everything we will ever feel. Every emotion. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was weary, the Bible says. He was made in the likeness of men. He is the supreme example of how we should think, but he is the supreme example of how we should serve. Take your Bibles. Just want to look at a couple passages real quickly. Look at Mark chapter number 10, if you would. Mark chapter number 10. In Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Does a king serve, or is a king served by others? Served by others. We know that. Mark chapter number 10. Verse number 43, the Bible says, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be what? Servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. He is the supreme example of how to serve. I have people occasionally, if I'm helping put up tables or put up chairs or just doing something in the church, somebody will come say, "Pastor, let me take that chair." And I'm thankful for that. I really am. I'm very grateful for that. But look, I'm here to serve just like everybody else. I'm here to do whatever needs to be done on the church property or at the church. That's what we're all here for. We're here to serve. We're not here for others to serve us. We're here to serve. We're here to see a need or see something that needs to be done and then do it. This needs to be done. Let's do it. Look at another passage, if you would, the book of John. John chapter number 13. He is the supreme example of how we should think, but secondly, he's the supreme example of how we should serve. Of how we should serve. John chapter number 13, verse number 2, the Bible says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. So that's good, because that is who I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." The supreme example of how to serve. He says, you call me Master and Lord, and so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. We're here to serve. We're not here for other people to serve us. But Pastor, I have a higher position than someone else. And so I shouldn't have to do that. Someone else is paid to do that, or someone else should do that. Listen, none of us are above doing anything in the service of Almighty God. None of us. By the way, let me say this. And this would be for maybe the young ladies. It's for the young men too. But if you have a young man who doesn't have enough oomph in him to pick up a table and chair and put it up, the ladies, you ought to steer clear of that. If a young man will stand by and watch all the adult men do all the work and he won't lift his hand, young ladies, you ought to steer clear of that. That's how he'll work when he marries you, and you'll be taking care of him. God put us here to work. And more specifically tonight, we're speaking, God put us here to serve. The Bible says, look, Christ did not come to be ministered to. He came to minister. Number one, tonight, He is the supreme example of how we should think. Number two, tonight, He is the supreme example of how we should serve. And let me give you number three tonight. He is the supreme example of how we should obey. He is the supreme example of how we should obey. The Bible says, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, notice this, He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. Father, if this cup can pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because He came to defeat the works of the devil. And He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So what does that mean to me? That means I should follow His example, because there are other people who need me to help them and to give them the gospel so that the works of the devil can be defeated in their lives as well. And if I don't follow that supreme example, they may never hear what they need to hear. Hey, be very leery of people who always want positions. Instead of just saying, what can I do? Is there anything I can do? No, I want a position. I want to teach, or I want to be in charge of this, or I want to be in charge of this. How about you go clean the bathroom first? Now, you don't have to do that because we have somebody who does that. But you know, occasionally there are times when it needs to be done in between before she does it. And I want to teach, or I want to be a deacon. Do you understand what that means? Being a deacon is being a servant. That's what the deacons are for. That's what the deacons were in the New Testament. They were servants. And we have this perverted idea in our day and in our churches today that deacons are to lead and they're to make all the decisions. No. In 1 Timothy chapter number 3, they're servants. And that goes back to He is the supreme example of how we're supposed to think. And how we're supposed to think is humbly and lowly. And hey, whatever I can do or whatever I need to do, that's what I'm here for. Number one, He's the supreme example of how we should think. He's the supreme example of how we should serve. He's the supreme example of how we should obey. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Two words, submit and sacrifice. In speaking of this idea of obedience, two words we find in verse number 8. Two ideas, two actions, submission and sacrifice. That's how we obey, submission and sacrifice. He became obedient unto that. He humbled Himself. He submitted Himself to the will of the Father. I do always those things that please the Father, He says in John chapter number 8. Hey, teenager, back talking mom and dad doesn't please the Father. And our supreme example, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the one who has all majesty and glory, who left all majesty and glory to come to earth so that He could die for us. He humbled Himself under the mighty hand of the Father, and He was obedient to the Father, and He said, I do always those things that please the Father. And young people tonight, everything you do in your life, you ought to have the mind and you ought to have the heart that everything I do, I want to please the Father. And part of pleasing the Father is being obedient to my mom and dad. You won't please the Father if you're back-talking mom and dad. You won't please the Father when you stomp your feet and you slam a door when mom and dad ask you to do something. And by the way, adults, we're not either. when we have an argument with our spouse and our kids hear us slamming doors and being angry with each other, we're not pleasing the Father. The supreme example of how we should obey, submission and sacrifice. By the way, in verse number 8, it says, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is what we were speaking of this morning in Luke chapter number 14, when it speaks about bearing our cross. Sacrifice. See, many times we think that bearing our cross is, well, God's given me this whatever, and I have to bear my cross. I have this little thorn in the flesh, and I have to bear my cross. That's not bearing our cross. Bearing our cross is dying to self, being submitted to the Father, and sacrificing and doing what He desires for us to do. That's bearing our cross. Let me show you a few verses, and we'll be done tonight. Look at Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. The supreme example of how we should think, the supreme example of how we should serve, and the supreme example of how we should obey. Why does it even matter? Because there are scores of individuals who need us to follow the supreme example and to be like Him so that they can have salvation just like we have. Jesus Christ did everything He did so that we could have salvation. We're to follow that supreme example. We're to think like He thinks. We're to obey like He obeys. We're to serve like He obeyed or like He served so that others can hear the gospel and be saved as well. Galatians chapter number 1, look at verse number 3. We're speaking about submission and sacrifice. He says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Who? Who is the who speaking of there? The Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 3. Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Look at chapter number 2, verse number 20. Galatians 2, verse 20. We've mentioned this verse recently. Galatians 2, 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Sacrifice. Submission. I am crucified with Christ. I am dead to self. I am dead to the world, and the world is dead to me, the Apostle Paul says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Look at chapter number 3, verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He is the supreme example of how we should obey. Submission and sacrifice. Submission and sacrifice. Go a little bit further in the New Testament to the book of 1 Timothy. Hang with, we're almost done. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2 verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who? Speaking of Christ Jesus. The man, Christ. Notice there again. The messianic title comes first. The man, the God-man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What did He do? He gave submission and sacrifice. He became obedient unto, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. One more and we're done. Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. The supreme example of how we should think, the supreme example of how we should serve, the supreme example of how we should obey, submission and sacrifice. By the way, we could use one word, and we haven't even used it much tonight. I think we mentioned it once. Here's a word that it's somewhere in your notes. If you're taking notes, you ought to put it on every one of those points. Selflessness. How should I think? Selfless. How should I serve? Selflessly. How should I obey? Selflessly. That's a good word to have in our lexicon. That's a good word to have in our vocabulary. Selfless. Deny self today. Self doesn't need to have any rule today. Selfless. Everything I do today is going to be selfless. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Nor yet that he should offer himself to, often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the what? The sacrifice of himself. He's talking about the sacrifices that the Old Testament priest did. And he said they would have to come year by year. They'd have to come every day, but they'd have to come once a year for that sacrifice where they would take the blood into the Holy of Holies. But not anymore. There's one sacrifice. We don't have to do it year after year. It doesn't have to be done annually this year and next year and then the following year. No, no, one time. The Bible says in the end of the world, he says in verse number 26, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. What if just maybe, if we sacrificed ourselves, we might be the very tool, because of the sacrifice that we display in our own lives, that leads someone else to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The story is told of a young lady. She was a student at Crown College, probably about 10 or 12 years ago. And every night in her prayer group, as they would gather together, the young ladies would gather together there in their residence hall, she would pray for her grandfather to be saved. And every single night she would come to that prayer group and they would take prayer requests, and every night she would ask prayer for her grandfather. Would you pray for my grandfather to be saved? And one night in that prayer group, she's praying, and her prayer specifically was, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever I have to give up, whatever it takes in my life, would you allow my grandfather to be saved? About 2 weeks later, while her and some other young ladies are pulling off of the campus there at Crown College, their vehicle is hit by another vehicle. And this young lady goes into eternity. And this young lady's grandfather, at his granddaughter's funeral, bows his head and calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That's sacrifice. Now let me ask you tonight, do you think she was thinking that when she prayed that? Lord, take my life if it will allow my grandfather to be saved. She didn't pray that, but she prayed, Lord, whatever it will take for my grandfather to be saved, Lord, I want my granddaddy to be saved. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He is the supreme example of how we should think. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He is the supreme example of how we are to serve. Made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The supreme example of how we should obey. Submission and sacrifice. Listen, there are scores of people in West Tennessee who need to be saved. And they probably will not be saved until some of God's people begin to think like He thinks, begin to serve like He served, and begin to obey like He obeyed. He did it for us, so that we could follow His example, so that we could do it for the sake of others. Servant of all. Paul gave a passionate exhortation, and then he showed us the Savior's supreme example. And next week in verses 9 through 11, we'll see the Father's faithful exaltation. Because in verses 9 through 11, Jesus Christ is exalted. And the Father is faithful to do that. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Father, we thank you for the supreme example. Father, would you help us to follow it? We may never have to actually give our lives, but Father, Jesus Christ did. Father, you don't ask us to give our lives. You ask us to be a living sacrifice in Romans 12. But Lord, there have been many of your servants who have indeed given their lives. They have sacrificed in obedience to you. And Lord, if that would be our calling, and if that would be our lot, Lord, and if that would be your will for our lives, Lord, may we even tonight say, Lord, I want to follow the Savior's supreme example. He came for the purpose of defeating the works of the devil. And Lord, I want you to use me to help someone else come to the saving knowledge of Christ so that the works of the devil can be defeated in their life. Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us with that truth tonight. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you're physically able, I'll ask you to stand tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo's at the piano. I don't know hearts tonight. Don't know if you need to come or kneel where you're at, but if the Lord's worked in your heart, if the Holy Spirit's worked in your heart, Miss Pam's at the piano. She's going to play. You come. You kneel. You do business with the Lord right where you're at. Would you say in your heart tonight that you think the way He thinks, that you serve the way He serves, and that you obey the way He obeyed? I do always those things which please the Father. Could that be our testimony tonight? I do always those things that please Him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you so much for your attention and your attendance today. Well, God's Word is good, isn't it? We can never exhaust the truths of God's Word. And how wonderful His Word, how wonderfully it teaches us. How wonderfully the Lord Jesus Christ Himself taught us and teaches us. And may we follow His example. I pray we'll do so even this week. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Look forward to seeing you back Wednesday night. 3 Master Club nights left. And looking forward to finishing strong. Brother Adam Haynes, would you dismiss us tonight, please, sir?